Thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
All right, we're going to continue with our Year in the Psalms series, and today we're going to be looking at Psalm 90. Psalm 90. So if you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 90. And if you're able to stand, let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's Word. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 years, or 80 if our strength endures. Yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, Lord. How long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Lord, we thank you for these words of Moses. Speak to us today. Holy Spirit, open up our hearts and our eyes and our ears. May you transform us. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So I do a lot of research on quotes when I prepare for a sermon, especially for opening illustration. I didn't know Albert Einstein said this, but he said, "Time flies when you're having fun." Did you know that? I didn't know that was Einstein. It could be wrong. I know I should not trust the internet, but let's assume that Albert Einstein said this. Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah. And when you're not having fun, time is super slow, isn't it? Yeah. So, Claire Cook said this, time flies faster every year. Time flies whether you're having fun or not. Whether you're living your life big or small, whether you surround yourself with fear or laughter. And as I'm getting older, I do think that time is flying. You know, it's already July 20th. You know, I feel like it was just yesterday when we celebrated summer being here. And now summer is already halfway through. And as we reflect upon time, we realize that, yeah, that time is really short here on earth. Our time is limited. And so the question I really want to ask is, as we are here on earth for a limited time, what hope do we have? What hope do we have in a world where time slips away? I have some family members who are not believers. And when I see them live, they're trying so hard to make memories here on earth because they believe that's all what they have. So every opportunity they have, they go on trips with as a family. And even when someone passes away, all they talk about is the memories that they left behind. And I'm so saddened by this because life is so much more than our time here on earth. We serve a God who is eternal. He's infinite. And yet if you don't know God, then everything is about your limited time here on earth. Whether you live 70 years, 80 years, 100, 120, it's limited. It's numbered. And so how do we live here on earth? What is our call as God's people? And how do we have hope? And what is our hope as we live here on earth? And today's text is teaching us that we need to have a kingdom perspective. We have to have eternity in mind. Because 100 years from now, 200 years from now, we will not be here on earth unless Jesus comes back before that. So let's look at our text today. And let's think about this hope that we could have. This hope that changes everything, our outlook in life and how we live here on earth. Amen? So, Psalm 90 starts with a subtitle, and it says it's a prayer of Moses, the man of God. So this is the oldest psalm we have recorded in the Bible. It was written by Moses. If you read through the Pentateuch, in Exodus 15 and Deuteronomy 32, we see that Moses writes songs. And so it's not surprising that he wrote this beautiful song, this beautiful prayer in our psalm today. It says here that Moses is a man of God, and this is a title that we also see in Deuteronomy, Joshua, Ezra. Whenever they mentioned Moses, they mentioned Moses, the man of God. And the context, the historical setting of this psalm, according to James Montgomery Boyce, says this. He says, the historical setting is best understood by the incidents recorded in Numbers 20. And he outlines three things that happens in Numbers 20. First is the death of Miriam, his sister. So he's experienced the death of his sister. The second thing is the sin of striking the rock, which kept Moses from entering the promised land. So if you remember, God instructs Moses to speak to the rock, but then Moses gets all upset and he strikes the rock. And because of that disobedience, God told Moses, you will not enter the promised land. And then the third thing is the death of Aaron, his brother. So Numbers 20 talks about the death of his sister, the death of his brother, and also him committing a sin. And the punishment is God telling Moses, the man in charge of bringing Israel out of Egypt, that he cannot enter in the promised land. So that's the context. That's the historical setting of this song. So with that in mind, let's dig in. Verse 1 starts by saying, Lord Adonai, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. So that word dwelling place, some translations would say our refuge, Others would say, you have been our protector or our place of safety. Another way to say this is, Lord, you have been our home. You have been our home throughout all generations. Now, because of my work with being on a board of directors at Aero Leadership, I get to travel a lot. And sometimes I get to stay at nice resorts. Sometimes we stay at cheap hotels. But whether you're staying at a cheap hotel or a luxury five-star hotel, it still doesn't feel like home. You know, there's something about it. It doesn't fit right, you know. The bed is either too soft or too hard. The pillow is either too hard or too hard. The sink is just never the right height. It just doesn't feel comfortable at all. But when you come to your home, even though it's not perfect in anyone's standard, this is where I could rest. You know, it's a place of comfort. And you sense love and peace when you come home. And I think this is the meaning of calling God our dwelling place, is we need to rest in God. But instead, some of us are trying so hard to make the perfect home here on earth. But that's temporary. You know, things break down. And it's even though your home is here, it's not perfect, but we have a perfect home. And we need to make sure that God is our resting place. God is our home. So what does that mean? That means we go to God for comfort. That means we go to God for protection. That means we trust in Him. And He is not my dwelling place, but look what Moses says. You have been our dwelling place. So we all need to go to God and be in His presence. Can you call God your home? Can we call God our home? Who are you trusting today? Who gives you comfort today? When you're in trouble, who do you run to? Let's run to God. Amen? Let's run to God. You know, He is our dwelling place. He is our protector. Let's trust in Him. Our God is also eternal. It says, before the mountains were born, before creation, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. God has no beginning. God has no end. Our God is eternal. It's a concept that we know up here, but we really don't understand. Because why? We're finite beings. Right? We're finite beings. So we're limited. We have a beginning and we have an end. So for us, we don't know what it's like. But our God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and He is God. So because He is from everlasting to everlasting, I don't know about you, but as finite beings, I say we should trust in the infinite God. Amen? Yes. We think we know everything, but we're limited. We don't. There's always one or two people who think they're the smartest person in the room. I used to think I was one of them. I'm not. But it doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter even if you are the smartest person in the room. Compared to God, we're nothing. Right? We are nothing. God, if God is like the ocean, and He's greater than the ocean, we're like a Dixie cup, right? We're a Dixie cup. And the smarter ones here, maybe you're a 16-ounce cup, when I'm like the one they give you at the dentist's office. But even if you top that off, 16 ounces compared to the ocean, who are we? What are we? You know? We don't know everything. And so if we disagree with Scripture, then who wins? Scripture. God. And God invites us to struggle with Him. You know, I don't understand everything in the Bible. I don't understand why. You know, there's this Simon Sinek who always says, start with why, you know. And when I try to live life, I realize I can't start with why. I don't know why, but God knows. So if you're a believer, it's not start with why. It's start with faith. It's start with trust. Trust in God. Trust in His Word. And even if you disagree with God's Word, believe it. Even if you don't understand God's Word, believe it. Because from an eternity standpoint, this is all that matters. We have this great gift called God's Word. And instead of trusting it, I know many people are trying to go through this and try to pick God's Word apart to find holes in it, to prove it wrong. You know, we're wasting our time when we do that. We have to live by faith, not by sight. So let's go to God's Word, because He is eternal. The other thing is, He doesn't change. I feel like the last 3 weeks, I've been quoting the same verse, Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The truth doesn't change. You know, we change. As we discover new things, we think we're getting smarter and smarter than the previous generation. You know, we're just discovering things, but just take comfort knowing that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His truth is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His hope is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so as people of God, we are called to live by faith. He is from everlasting to everlasting, from eternity to eternity. And He is God. And all God's people said, amen. He is an eternal God. He is eternally glorious. And then as we're looking more, looking at God's character, we also see who we are. Yeah? But it says, God, what do you what does He do? He turns people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. That's a reference to Genesis 3:19, where God says, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Shows you, we just talked about how God is eternal. He's everlasting, and we are not. We are limited. And for Him, 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that had just gone by, or like a watch in the night. So 1,000 years like nothing to God. For us, a day could feel like eternity if you're waiting for something. So our God is, He is Lord over time. Isaiah 57:15 says that God lives forever, or God inhabits eternity, and we don't. One commentator said this, we exist in time, but God exists over time. So He's Lord over time. And if you get this, and we trust in Him, if we dwell in His presence, then we truly don't have to worry about anything. So why are you so anxious today? When you're feeling anxious, just do a check. Where is God right now as I'm feeling anxious? Look for God. He is with us. That's one of the promises of God. I am with you. Always. He is Emmanuel, God with us. So if this eternal God is with us, then we really have nothing to worry about. And he is with all who believe. Continuing to talk about us people, how limited we are, yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like new grass in the morning. Moses wrote this. Moses is out in the desert for years. So he sees a desert where grass will spring up in the morning and it's gone by night. So he gets this. In the morning it springs up, but by evening it is dry and withered. And such is life. Some of us are in our morning stage. We think, yes, you know, look how beautiful I am. Look how green I am. But evening is coming, and we're going to be dry and withered. So human life is brief. It's brief. So, you know, it's hard enough for us to face our own mortality. But Moses doesn't stop here. The Bible doesn't stop here. You know, instead of just our mortality, it's focusing on now sin, our morality. Because what is the problem? The problem for us is sin. So in verse 7, he says, God, he says, we are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sin, in the light of your presence. So sin is serious. And there is no secret sin. We can't deceive God. He knows everything. And none of our sins are hidden from God. You know, in my pastoral ministry, I've seen some great deceivers. But somehow, eventually, sin is discovered. Some may be hiding their sins for their whole life. And it's discovered. You know, just this past week, we learned that you can't hide, even at a concert. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah? You know? God has a way of exposing our sins. And even if here on earth you're able to maintain that hidden sin, God knows everything. God sees everything. And the problem of sin is the wages of sin is death. Whether people know about our sin or not, if you have sin in your hearts, unconfessed sins in your heart, what you deserve for that sin is death. So sin is a great problem. Sin is serious. But a lot of times we take sin so lightly, even in God's house. Why? We tend to focus on the mercy of God, the grace of God, the love of God. But what about the wrath of God? What about his anger? Do we ever think about God's anger? I think Moses knows a thing or two about God's anger. So he's reminding us in this prayer, as we are called to pray this prayer with him, that sin is a problem. We are limited, so we have a problem with our mortality, but we also have a problem with our morality. He continues, all our days pass away under your wrath. See, there's that word again, his wrath. We finished our years with a moan. Other translation says, end like a sigh, our years Our days end like a sigh. Our days may come to 70 years or 80 if our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow. Boy, trouble and sorrow, suffering. That's the big problem, isn't it? Yeah. When I talk to non-believers, a lot of them have issues with what? Suffering. If God is a loving God, why is there suffering? If God is a loving God, why would He allow A, B, and C to happen in my life? And I say to this that we're focusing on the wrong things if we're focusing on our sufferings. Because really, the issue is sin. We need to be focusing on sin. There's a big problem, and sin is serious. But even that, because our life here on earth is so short, the trouble and sorrow, they quickly pass. And it says here, we fly away. So there's a sense of release with that statement, right? We fly away. So the end is not, it's not defeat, but it's a sense of release. And Moses witnessed an entire generation passing, because that was a punishment for the Israelites, right? Those who left Egypt, the first generation, they all died. None of them could go into the promised land. So Moses was probably at either at a funeral almost every day or heard about a funeral almost every day. And so he's seen this. And this is what he is passing on to us. Then he continues, if only we knew the power of your anger. Not just the power of God's love, but the power of his anger. So this statement is indicating what? We don't know the power of God's anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is your due. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's our anchor verse. If you read the Pastor's Corner, that's our anchor verse. Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. So what do we learn from these two verses? So the fear of God, the fear of God's anger, the fear of God, it leads to a wise life. Or it should lead to a wise life. As we live in this world, as we live on earth, and our days are numbered, how do we live each day? How do we live each day with wisdom? We need to see life through the lens of eternity. We have to have eternity in mind as we live here on earth. As a pastor, one of my prayers is that Goodwill Beacon, this church, will exist 100 years from now. How we live today, how we pass things on to the next generation, it's going to make a difference. It's not about just us being okay here in 2025. Or for the next 20 years or 30 years. Just walk around Main Street and you'll see churches with empty buildings. They're empty buildings right now. 100 years ago, they were thriving. So what happened? Somehow we have forgotten to look at life through the lens of eternity with a kingdom perspective. So as our days are numbered, what can you and I do? How should we live? God is calling us to look to Him ask for wisdom. That we have a heart of wisdom, that we live by faith and not by sight. Amen? Yeah. So if verses 1 through 6, or if verses 1 through 6 was talking about God, then the second part we just looked at, 7 through 12, is really talking about sin and our guilt. So there's God and guilt. And now the rest of the verses, we could say, is talking about God's grace. So he cries out to God, "Relent, Lord." Some translations would say, "Return, Lord." And it's a cry to God to turn back towards us. Return to us, God. That contrasts to what we just looked at, where God said, "Return to dust." And we're saying, "No, return to us, God. Return to us, Lord." How long will it be? How long will this suffering be? Have compassion on your servant. And boy, this is a prayer that you and I need today, don't we? Return to us, God. Have compassion on us. And then it says here to satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. I just love that. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, your hesed love, your covenant love. Satisfy us, oh God. Because nothing else can really satisfy us. We think other things can satisfy us. We try hard. Why do we try so hard? To move up in our companies where we are, or to live a more comfortable life. We have this need to be satisfied. And the only satisfaction that can truly satisfy our hearts is from God. We need to look to God for satisfaction. Not our friends, not our family, not our church even. But the satisfaction needs to come from God. Satisfy us in the morning when we wake up. Fill our hearts when we wake up in the morning, that we may sing for joy. When you're fully satisfied, the praises are so different, isn't it? Sing for joy and be glad all our days. So how do we not focus on the suffering? We need to be satisfied by God. Instead of complaining, we could rejoice. Even if you're having the worst day of your life, we could still rejoice if God is the one satisfying your heart. So let's look to God. Let's make this our prayer. Did anybody pray this prayer today? Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love. Let's make this our daily prayer. Can we make this our daily prayer? Imagine how we would be next week if we prayed this prayer every day. How rich will our worship be? We're going to be singing for joy. We don't need the worship team. We'll just be bursting out in joy. We do need you guys, by the way. But we'll be singing with joy. We'll be glad all our days here on earth. Why? Because we have a kingdom perspective. We know how it ends. We know where we will be. Do you know where you will be? Alexander McLaren said this about being satisfied. The only thing that will secure lifelong gladness is a heart satisfied with the experience of God's love. Let me say that again. The only thing that will secure lifelong gladness is a heart satisfied with the experience of God's love. Experiencing God's love. Once you experience it, no one could ever take that experience away. It's like that Jonathan Edwards illustration of honey. I was talking to somebody about this. For those who have never experienced God's love, is like those who've never had honey but heard everything about how honey is sweet. They read all the books. They went on the internet. They read. They saw everything about how honey is sweet. But do you really need to go to the internet and understand scientifically that honey is sweet? No, you just have to taste honey. Once you taste honey, no one can convince you that it's not sweet anymore because you've tasted honey. Once you've experienced God's love, no one can take that experience away. You will know God's love once you've experienced it, once you're satisfied in your heart with God's love. And so that is my prayer today for all of you, that you've experienced God's love, that you know God's love. Just like you know honey is sweet. Make us glad for many days, he continues, as you have afflicted us for as many years as we have seen trouble. And then he concludes with these two verses. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May your deeds, may your works be shown. Help us to see you at work in our lives. And may your splendor be shown to the next generation. And then he ends with, may the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Just love how the prayer ends. May God's favor be upon us. And then he says, establish the works of our hands for us. Establish the work of our hands for us. May the work that we do have permanence. May how we live today have an eternal impact. And he repeats this, right? Yes, establish the work of our hands. It's calling us to live today for what lasts forever. So what are you living for today? Let's make sure that we have a kingdom perspective. Let's hold on to hope because God, you know that God is your home. Hold on to hope knowing that God is your home. And so as we reflect this and as we saw who God is and as we saw the guilt, what sin, the power of sin is, but we also see God's grace here. But do you see Christ? Do you see Christ in the psalm? Because if you believe in him, then Jesus, he's our home. He's our dwelling place. And he is our eternal God. And the wrath that we saw, Jesus received the wrath that you and I deserve. The power of God's anger was upon Jesus. For all who believe, because our sin was placed upon him when he died on the cross. So he received the wrath that you and I deserve so that we could receive the favor of the Lord on us. It's interesting to note that Moses wrote this psalm because he never goes into the promised land. He gets to see the promised land. He never enters it. And he dies, and he's buried outside the promised land. And that's how his life ends here on earth. But you know, and we know through Scripture, that if you look at it through the lens of eternity, at the transfiguration, who was with Jesus? It was Moses. Right? So even though he never gets to enter into the promised land here on earth, he's with Jesus. So he does enter the promised land. Amen? Yeah. So, church, what hope do we have in a world where time is slipping away? Well, our hope is in the eternal God who satisfies us with his love and gives purpose to our limited days. So where's your hope? Let's make sure our hope is in our God who is from eternity to eternity. Let's make sure that our hearts are satisfied with his covenant love. Don't fill your heart with anything else. Just be satisfied with his love. May you experience his love, which no one can take away from you. And may he give you purpose to our days here on earth. So let's make sure we anchor our life here on earth in God, not time. Don't focus on the time. Focus on God. Focus on eternity. Let's understand our limits here on earth. We have limits. And I love this one. Let's seek daily our satisfaction in his love. Let's make that our prayer. Amen? Verse 14, let's make that our prayer. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Start every morning with that. Remind somebody today, this week. Let's call each other. Let's send a text. Did you pray the prayer? Let me pray that prayer for you. Let's pray for that. Pray for our church. Amen? That not only God's favor will be upon you, but he will satisfy you this morning with his unfailing love. I need that prayer. Pray for me. And lastly, let's ask God to give purpose to what we're doing here on earth. That the purpose is not to live a comfortable life here on earth till Jesus comes back. But we could plant seeds that will make a difference 100 years from now. Pray for our church that we'll be standing wherever God places us 100 years from now. That we're not a restaurant or a concert venue, but a house of worship. Amen? Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for who you are. You are our eternal God from eternity to eternity. We thank you that you are also a merciful God. Thank you for your grace that you shower upon us. I pray that you would satisfy our hearts today and every day with your love. And I pray that everyone here within the sound of my voice would know you, Jesus Christ, would know the power of your love, how sweet it is. And we thank you, Jesus, for facing the wrath that we deserve so that we could be in the presence of our God, the Father. Holy Spirit, I ask that you continue to do your transforming work in our hearts. And as we reflect upon your love for us, may you fill our hearts with joy, and may we sing to you with joy May we worship you in wonder. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Let me ask you to rise, and let's continue to worship our God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.